Welcome to Fantasy Football Weekly, a production of iHeartRadio.
Time now for Fantasy Football Weekly from iHeartRadio, your weekly source for the nation's best fantasy speculation and advice. Now, along with the guys from GuillotineLeagues.com, here's your host, Paul Charchian.
Welcome to Fantasy Football Weekly, week number 8. I am Paul Charchi, and my co-hosts today are Scott Fish and Matt Harrison. Hello, guys.
Hey, what's going on? Good to be back.
Matt Harrison.
Yes. You're already prepping your Ben DiNucci.
Ben DiNucci.
I'm a Ben DiNucci. Who sounds a lot like Mario, by the way.
No, there's
no
correlation there.
What happened is they were sick of people getting three tough questions wrong, so you brought me back to
hammer away at three tough questions. We will have three tough questions later in the show. We will also provide 9 players upon whom you can take a chance. Premature speculation, where we give you players we believe everybody's going to want to pick up next week, but you will already have. Because you are listening to this show, and we will break down every game fantasy style with letter grades on every meaningful player. First, I want to start with this. Guys, we've got our first weekend with probable weather issues. We've got Green Bay with windy conditions, Cleveland with wind and rain, Buffalo with rain, and it's cold rain at this mm-hmm. time of year. So tell me the point at which you start changing your lineups. When weather strikes,
almost never. It has to be really, really inclement. These are high wind ones, and there's a lot of data that supports anything 20 miles per hour or less does not impact the game or the fantasy stats too much.
Yeah.
If it's 25 miles per hour or more and sustained winds with mm-hmm. high gusts, there's a very small sample size of those, but it's shown that passing attempts go down, rushing attempts go up, but the rushing attempts aren't as efficient. So the rushing stats stay about the same and the passing stats go down.
Yeah.
So you're going to see a lot more three and outs and stuff like that. And the long kicking game's gone.
Now, all of these games have the threat of that 25 mile an hour winds. I mean, that is wind is a bigger deterrent than precipitation is in many cases.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. You know, because wind really does affect the ball more than the precipitation does.
Kickers, if you play in a league that still does kickers. If it's very windy, I would usually take them out of those games. You don't know which direction they're going in that perspective.
They'll probably kick towards the field goal.
Well, yeah, but which way is the wind going?
Now, a wet surface, I don't think changes a lot with kickers, but a mm-hmm. slippery surface does.
Sure.
So if you've got snow, sleet, or sneet. Then I think you got to be worried about the footing for the kickers.
How about... Remember that Chicago game where the fog was
you think I don't?
Oh, you could only see like a foot in front of you?
Oh, that was one of the great games of all time. Eventually, they moved the camera down to like field level just so you could sort of see the blobs moving around the field. That was a great game. I was in Las Vegas watching it with all the other betting degenerates for that game. And that was a ton of
fun. Did you bet the under on that one?
You know, I don't remember that if I did or didn't, but man, would that have been a good play?
Yeah.
I got him. Although you would think if the defense can't see the ball, you could just run it like any direction you want.
Yeah, but
you want.
The refs also can't see the ball, so they can't put their hands up for
a
touchdown.
But you just camp out in the end zone and wait until somebody finds you. Anyway. Mostly our advice is don't panic.
Yeah.
Right. We agree. Okay. Let's get into some of the matchups, beginning with the Rams taking on the Dolphins. This is the very first game for Tua, but let's start on the other side of the field with the Rams and what's been a pretty inconsistent passing attack. What do you expect from Jared Goff?
It really has been inconsistent. Goff has multiple touchdowns in 5 of his 6, but he's just averaging over 250 yards per game.
Mm-hmm.
He's only passing the ball 32 times per game.
That's part of the problem.
Yeah, he's not passing the ball a ton. The Dolphins' D, though, has been lit up by some good QBs and held down bad QBs, like, you know, an average defense generally does.
Mm-hmm.
Goff probably finds himself on the upper end of those average quarterbacks, maybe 200-plus yards, 1 to 2 touchdowns. I'm giving him a C. I don't know that I'd start him, but he's also not going to kill you if you throw him in.
Yeah, sounds right.
Cooper Kupp, I'm going to give a B. Kupp has the matchup you want here. He's leading the team in targets, catches, yards. Only has one game with fewer than four grabs. Best cornerback matchup as well. Give me Kupp with a B. Woods, he's getting a C. He's still been consistent, but not the consistent he was over the last couple of years.
No,
like consistent on a slightly lower level. He might get Xavien Howard in this one, which is a little concerning. But
yes, he's been very good.
Yeah, I wouldn't blame you for benching him, but I'm guessing you probably don't have a lot of better options than Robert Woods with the potential target share he could get.
So C grade for Robert Woods.
C grade for Robert Woods. The rest of the passing game I'm benching. I know Reynolds had a good game last week. I can't trust it this week against a better defense. Higbee and Everett, if Higbee does go, they're definitely benched. If he doesn't, I can't trust Everett. You know, he's a 2 to 3 catch, 20 to 35 yard guy. So Henderson, I am giving a B to, though. He's outtouched Brown 47 to 29 over the last 3 weeks, getting a lot of the it's crazy because he's now the guy getting the goal line work, too. Let's see. Three running backs under the age of 37 to hit the 14 plus touch volume. That's a Frank Gore stat.
Yeah.
Take him out of it. To hit the 14 plus touch volume. All hit 100 yards against the Dolphins. I think Henderson can get that 14 touches. So I think he's got the possibility to get near 100 yards. And this surprised me about Henderson. Fourth in the NFL in red zone carries and fourth in the NFL in goal line carries.
You would think it would add up to bigger, splashier fantasy games.
It's shocking, but at some point, that's got to flip. If you're getting that many opportunities in those spots,
it's going to work out.
It's got to work out eventually.
By the way, side note on Darrell Henderson. Pro Football Focus's highest rated healthy running back in the league right now.
Wow.
So give the ball to Malcolm Brown.
Out of all six of them.
That's right.
Oh, on the other side, we got Tua Tagovailoa. I like that there's no end in there, but there's kind of an
end. There is. You have to say it like there's an end. Pretend there's an end.
Yes, Tua Tagovailoa. He's left-handed and the only left-hander in the league, so I expect that to completely confuse opposing defenses who were unaware that QBs are allowed to throw with the other hand.
Not since Michael Vick have we seen a southpaw.
I was going to say, they probably saw Mahomes do it once, but assumed it was some kind of wizardry or something. I'm giving him a C grade here. I think he's got enough weapons. I think we saw enough in the first game here, and it's a middle-of-the-road matchup against the Rams defense. The problem is, I need Parker to be healthy. It sounds like he is. Sounds like he's going to go. If he goes...
Well, yeah, but then there's Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah, yeah. I'm still getting... That's why he's getting the C grade if he goes. And he's not getting the A grade or a B grade. You have to imagine Tua is going to lean on his best option, but he will get Jalen Ramsey, as we just mentioned. The question is, how many targets will he see? He was averaging nearly 7 a game, but had some low ones and has been banged up. Ramsey has held down opposing wide receivers, and the receivers he covers don't get a lot of targets. They don't throw at him much, so that's the concern there.
I think it's like 2.5 targets per game.
Yeah, I think 2.39 or something like that.
Yeah,
it's something ridiculous. Preston Williams, I have on the bench. He's scored 3 of the last 4, but guess how many catches Preston Williams has on the season total?
It's going to be low. It's going to be like 20.
It's 12.
12?
12 catches
that's
on the
it.
Season.
Ugh.
You can't count on anything there. Bench. Even though I love him. Gesicki, I'm giving a C to. And I found this really interesting this week. Mike Gesicki has been practicing with Tua on the scout team all year.
Oh.
And I don't know what that says about Gesicki.
And they just signed Adam Shaheen to this new deal.
Yes.
And two other tight ends besides Gesicki scored touchdowns in their last game.
Yeah.
I don't know what to make of that.
They're the Chicago
Gesicki
Bears
seems
south.
Like it, doesn't it seem that way?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Shaheen
frustrating.
Has scored in 2 straight as well. But you got to figure Gesicki's going to be the guy with that much work timing with Tua.
Mm-hmm.
The other tight end, by the way, was Durham Smythe, who sounds kind of like a minor league baseball team, like the Durham Smythe something.
Yeah. Sounds like a whiskey brand.
I can see that too. Yeah, it's a good name. I like his name. This is a Rams D that allowed 9 for 91 to the Bears tight ends and 7 to 109 and a touchdown to Kittle over the last 2 weeks. Shaheen only ran 14 routes in the last 2 weeks, where Gesicki is on the field almost all the time. Yeah. So I think it's more luck that Shaheen had those couple big plays. I got a C grade on Gesicki, but I like him a little bit more than that. Miles Gaskin, B grade. The Rams have allowed 5 different running backs to have 4-plus catches. Gaskin has hit that in all but one game. He only has 1 touchdown, but the Rams have only allowed 3 running backs to score. But Gaskin has 13-plus touches in all the games. The 7 running backs who had 13-plus touches all totaled 92 or more yards. I think there's a safe floor here. B grade for Gaskin.
Very safe. Raiders take on the Browns, Matt. Yeah. And Josh Jacobs has been really underperforming expectations. And it might feel like a trip to the Browns and bad weather would be perfect for him, but the Browns are actually sneaky good against the run.
Yeah, he only had 32 snaps last week. That's really low.
That is.
Only 10 rushing attempts for 17 yards. Granted, he was playing the Bucks, and they're really great against the run. But he's been limited in practice this week with a knee injury, too, and the Browns are only allowing 68 rushing yards per game. That's top 5 in the league. You put that all together, I'm putting Josh Jacobs on the bench this week.
Oh, that's
bench.
Bold. All right.
There we go.
Well, given what he's done for the past month.
You want bold? How about Derek Carr getting an A grade?
That is bold.
Over 260 yards and multiple touchdowns in 5 straight, which is impressive considering his very weird wide receiver core. The matchup is ripe, though. The Browns have allowed 306 yards and 2 1/3 passing scores per game this year. That means Darren Waller is also in play with an A grade. The Browns are bottom 10 in receptions, yards, and touchdowns allowed to tight ends. And Waller is averaging the most targets amongst tight ends per game at 9.2. The wide receivers are just like David S. Pumpkins, their own thing.
I don't have any idea what you're referencing right there, but
any
okay.
Questions?
Any questions?
By the way, I can see that with Waller. If the weather's really bad, I can see a lot of Waller dumping off.
So Bryan Edwards was still limited in practice this week with a foot and ankle injury. I think he's probably not going to go. Nelson Aguilar played the most snaps among the wide receiver group last week. Has quietly scored in 3 straight, but only has 20 targets on the season. So I'll give him a C grade, along with Henry Ruggs, who was on the field 75% of the snaps last week. The problem with Ruggs is he's averaging 2 receptions per game despite being on the field all the time. So he gets the C because the Browns are allowing 16 receptions for 210 yards and 1.5 per game to the wide receiver position.
Wow.
Which also puts Hunter Renfrow in play with a C, but he was only on the field for just over half the snaps last week. It's a mess in their wide receiver core, so that's why they're all getting Cs. Let's flip on over to the Browns side, where Baker Mayfield's getting a B grade. Baker had 5 touchdown passes last week after Odell went down with an ACL injury on the second play of the game. But he's only averaging 199 passing yards per game. That's 25th among quarterbacks. The good thing is the Raiders have allowed at least 270 yards to every quarterback they've faced who is not named Cam Newton. And each of the last 3 quarterbacks they've faced have thrown for multiple scores. Jarvis Landry still dealing with a rib injury and has been limited in practice all week, but I'll still give him a B. He hasn't scored yet this year, but he was Baker's favorite target way back in the day before Odell got to Cleveland, so I think there might be something there. There's a couple of other sneaky wide receivers to put on your radar. Rashard Higgins played 85% of the snaps last week. Donovan Peoples-Jones, it's plural Peoples.
He's the Peoples,
yeah.
Jones.
The rookie out of Michigan, he played 69% of the snaps last week. Come on. Brian's not here.
It's a Brian thing.
Oh, jeez.
It's just everybody does it. There's nothing fresh, interesting. Everybody does it.
You know what? Sometimes you just do things. like happy
if all
birthday.
All your friends jumped off a cliff. We do jump.
So the Raiders are allowing 13 receptions per game.
Nice.
To the wide but they're allowing big yardage totals of 180 yards, so that favors the home run hitter. Donovan Peoples-Jones is the home run hitter. He's averaging 18.7 yards per catch. I'll give him a C and leave Higgins on the bench. Harrison Bryant outsnapped David Njoku last week, and peacocks to Brian, by the way, for his bold Harrison Bryant call. 2 touchdowns last week. I'll give Bryant a solid C in this game because Austin Hooper's out again. And Vegas is a middle-of-the-pack tight end defense, but they've cracked recently, allowing 15 catches, 190 yards, and two scores to the tight end over their last two games. Finally, Kareem Hunt is an A. The Raiders are allowing 4.9 yards per carry, and Dearness Johnson was only on the field for two snaps last week, so it's all Kareem Hunt.
All the time.
All the time.
I've got the Jets taking on the Chiefs. This is not going to take very long.
No, it won't.
No, so we'll sneak this one into this first segment. There's only one starter for the Jets, and it's at a C grade, and that's LaMichael Perine. The Jets stubbornly run the ball, even when trailing badly. Perine, over the past 2 weeks, has almost as many snaps as Derrick Henry and Josh Jacobs. So he's getting enough use here. In recent games, Phillip Lindsay, Devontae Booker had success running against Kansas City. So, depending on the health of New York's offensive line, Perine could surprise us with a few decent runs here, and he's a plausible starter in a bye week with a C grade. Everybody else is on the bench. Jamison Crowder's out with injury. Rashad Perryman likely doesn't get through the concussion protocol. Let's talk about Denzel Mims, who's also on the bench here. He got his first action last week, didn't do a ton with it. He runs most of his routes on the right side of the field, where he'll get overmatched by cornerback Charvarius Ward. So he's on the bench. But let's mention this about Denzel Mims. If you're in a dynasty or an empire league, think about the rest of his career with Trevor Lawrence and no Adam Gase.
Mm-hmm.
And be thinking about what Denzel Mims would be worth to you in 2021.
Sure.
Because now is the time to trade for Denzel Mims. Mm-hmm. It will cost you very little in a dynasty or an empire league. And he has the potential to blossom big time next year. I'll future peacock that. Can I, is that
a precock?
Can I precock that with the time machine and the peacock together?
You know, Brian had him as his premature speculation last week.
Yes.
So, I mean.
Yeah, but he didn't say it was a 2021 premature speculation.
That's really premature.
That's very premature. Let's go to the Kansas City side, where Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce are obvious A's. I'm more worried about the Chiefs running game, sniping them through than on the ground than really the Jets. Much like last week's blowout win when they didn't need to perform in the second half and didn't. Tyreek Hill, also an A grade. New York allows a healthy 14 catches for 180 yards per game to wide receivers. And that's great news for Hill, who out-targeted all the other Chiefs wideouts last week. But he does have a sneaky tough matchup with slot cornerback Brian Poole, who is Pro Football Focus's fifth highest graded cornerback. But Hill can run from everywhere. He just mostly runs from the slot. Mm-hmm. So it wouldn't take a lot for Andy Reid to just design more plays for Hill outside because he runs there anyway. So there's no saying that he even actually gets the Brian Poole matchup in this one. Sticking with the passing game, C grades as dart throws for DeMarcus Robinson and Mecole Hardman. These are low-volume guys, but plausible dart throws with Sammy Watkins out. Both guys have got positive matchups against dreadful cornerbacks, Pierre Desir and Blessian Austin.
You made that name up.
Then lastly, let's go to the running games. Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Since the Bell trade, I think we can agree Clyde Edwards-Helaire has posted his two best NFL games.
He's putting the pressure on him.
He is. He's averaging 6 yards per carry since the trade. I think he will still see most of the work against a medium bad run defense for the Jets. They rank 23rd in yards per carry allowed. They're 23rd in rushing yards per game. They're 26th in rushing attempts per game. So I think there's enough work to get a B grade on Clyde Edwards-Helaire. So what about Le'Veon Bell in a revenge game for Brian, who's not here? Last week, in a blowout win, he got 17 snaps, which isn't a ton, 6 carries.
That's a decent amount for a first game with the team, though.
Yeah, I'd agree. It's not bad. 6 carries, and he averaged 6.5 yards per carry. And you might say, well, okay, that was in a blowout win, so why not put Bell in at the end of the game, which is a lot of when he got his work. But this is going to be a blowout win, too. It's the Jets. So Bell's going to find his way back on the field here.
Yeah.
They didn't throw to him at all last week, but the Chiefs barely threw the ball, period, and that could change here. I still believe Bell will get goal line looks if the opportunity presents itself, and I think he will start to catch more passes. I've got a C grade.
I would hammer
on Le'Veon.
Hammer
Bell.
The Bell score. Le'Veon Bell scores a touchdown in this one.
Oh, you like that?
Bet.
All right.
Well, yeah.
Chiefs favored by 21 in some circles.
Between 19 and 21. That's a big number. I have reason to believe that is a very big number. When we come back, take a chance on me. 9 players not normally in your starting lineup. We'll tell you who they are, who you can get off the waiver wire, plug into your lineup when we return to Fantasy Football Weekly. Football Weekly, Paul Charchian from GuillotineLeagues.com, Scott Fish and Matt Harrison.
Take a chance, take a chance, take a chance on me.
It's growing on me.
It is. It's growing on me like a fungus. I want nothing to do with this song.
You should get that checked out.
Do you have a lot of those?
Fungi? No, I really don't. Take a chance on me. 9 players, not normally in your starting lineup, many of whom are available on the waiver wire. Let's begin at the quarterback position. Scott Fish.
I know this guy is because I picked him up in 2 of my leagues in the last week. He's probably half owned or more. I'm going with Carson Wentz. Don't look now, but the Cowboys are top 5 in most points allowed through 7 weeks in NFL history.
Wow.
That's a healthy 34.7 points per game they're allowing. With Washington on bye, winner of this one leads the division as a 3-win team. So I think Carson Wentz is going to be on fire. The Cowboys have allowed multiple touchdowns to 5 quarterbacks, and Wentz has had multiple touchdowns in all but 1 game. And he's put 5 more touchdowns in with his legs, too. So there's always that floor as well. Go pick him up.
He just plays with so much heart. And I know he makes a handful of really bad plays every game that just you cringe, but man, he wants to win so overtly. And I love that about Carson
Brett
Wentz.
Brett Favre light.
Without all the arm talent.
Yeah.
Hence
the light.
Yeah, that's the light part. Okay, who is your take a chance on me quarterback?
Jimmy Garoppolo has been super solid in his last 2 games, hitting at least 265 yards in both with 3 touchdown passes against a pretty good Rams defense. But Jimmy G really thrives on super bad secondaries because last year, remember, he killed the Cardinals twice and they were amongst the worst secondary in the league last year. And this year, he's going to kill the Seahawks twice, who are allowing a shocking 48 passing attempts per game for 374 yards and 2 scores per game. The Seattle defense is on pace to allow 6,000 passing yards.
It's crazy.
This year.
I keep thinking, I mean, these are the kinds of stats you normally will hear like through the first 3 games of the year, right? And then teams start to normalize.
Yeah.
We're like at the halfway point. And we're still talking about this.
Nothing's normal here.
No, it is weird.
2020.
The funny thing about Kirk Cousins' lousy season is he's actually a better fantasy producer in many ways. He's been fantasy relevant in 4 of 6 games this year because the Vikings are constantly playing from behind, and the volume has been there for him where it hasn't been in years past. This week he sees the Packers, a team that he posted a good game against in week 1, a lot of it in garbage time, but that's going to be the case here too. The Packers have a good pass defense, but they've allowed multiple touchdowns to 5 of 6 opposing quarterbacks. Kirk Cousins, this time around, unlike week 1, has got a red-hot Justin Jefferson available as well, and that will help make Kirk Cousins a take-a-chance-on-me quarterback. Mm-hmm. Scott, let's go to the running back position. Who is your player?
I got J.K. Dobbins in this one. I kind of like both Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins here, but Dobbins is the better pass catcher. Gus Edwards has 3 targets and no catches on the season, so I'm going to go with the better floor and the more explosive player in J.K. Dobbins. It sounds like Mark Ingram is going to be out with that mid to high ankle sprain, giving the opportunity here. The Steelers have been good against opposing runners, but I think with Dobbins' floor, and if he starts producing and has explosive plays, I think he's going to take away more touches than Gus will.
Okay. Matt.
I've got Jamichael Hasty because the 49ers have the best team running back total in the league. Their running backs are averaging 191 total yards per game and almost 2 scores per game. That backfield has included big days from Raheem Mostert, Jerick McKinnon, and Jeff Wilson.
Oh, yeah, everybody on roster, basically.
All of which are either out or trending in a bad way, as McKinnon is supposedly dealing with tired legs.
Well, I think he bounces back and plays a bunch this game.
Maybe. And Tevin Coleman might return. They haven't taken him off IR yet, but let's get Hasty here because he's averaging 5.2 yards per carry on the season. Seattle's been okay against opposing backs, but Kyle Shanahan scheming a running back game, that's way better than Seattle's run D.
My take a chance on me running back is Boston Scott. Miles Sanders not expected to play in this game, so Philadelphia will start Boston Scott. Cowboys allowing 162 total yards per game, 4th most to opposing running backs. It's been even worse the last 2 games where they're averaging 30 rushes against almost 200 total yards and one and a half touchdowns per game to opposing running backs.
I hear they give up a lot of points too, that Dallas Cowboys defense.
I heard that just moments ago, that they give up a lot of points. Scott is going to be an excellent play with the percentage of snaps he's likely to see. Saw 70% of the snaps last week, and so I think that's the same thing here. Strong play, Boston Scott.
Scott Fish, can you do a Boston accent? Because I'd really like to hear one.
Probably not, but people don't know this, but we're in our Halloween costumes today, and I'm wearing a side from Boston Market.
Oh, there you go.
Is it?
And Matt is wearing an aardvark costume.
There's the
I can make the noise, too.
Can you really?
Yeah.
With the button bar.
That's probably actually pretty good. Let's go to the receivers for Take a Chance on Me. Scott.
I'm going with a tight end with Albert Okwuegbunam. Don't look now, again, but Albert O has 13 targets in the last two games, with injuries continuing to rack up, and we might be without Tim Patrick this week. Locke has been, you know, with all these injuries, Locke has been reverting back, looking for his old Missouri teammate that he threw 17 touchdowns to. Normally that played in college together thing
that
almost never works.
Nothing.
It almost never works. But
doesn't.
I think this amount of injuries and the weird play out of Locke, maybe it's actually working out right now because it has to.
All right.
So I'm going with Albert Okwuegbunam.
Matt, your previous two selections were both 49ers. Who do you got for us this time?
How about a 49er?
You don't say.
Yeah. Brandon Ayuk, who as of recently was only like 35% owned in ESPN
what?
Leagues.
I
so
love
he's
Ayuk this
he's
week.
Still
love
pick upable.
So
he's topped
that's
100
weird.
Yards or scored in four of his last five games. Deebo Samuel is out for this one, leaving Ayuk as the clear number one with only Kendrick Bourne and Trent Taylor as the additional wide receiver options. And you've heard of Seattle's defense, right?
I have heard about Seattle's defense.
Oh, they're allowing 22 catches, 280 yards per game just to wide receivers.
Mm. Ridiculous.
If Ayuk has half of that, that's 11
might.
And 140.
We'll take it.
Yeah.
We'll take that. Could be a breakout game for Brandon Ayuk. My Take a Chance on Me receiver is a much more of just a safe play, and that's Greg Ward, only owned in 17% of leagues, going up against Dallas. DeSean Jackson's out. He's injured again. And I think it's a career for DeSean Jackson. Ward quietly averaging six targets over the past five games, and he's found the end zone three times. But this is a good matchup in the slot for him as well. The Cowboys have allowed multiple touchdowns to receivers in four of the past five games. And if multiple receivers are going to get paid, I think Greg Ward has got a very good chance of being one of those guys. Four of the 12 wideout touchdowns Dallas has given up has gone to the slot. Ward has got a very favorable one-on-one matchup against Jordan Lewis, who's given up two scores and is allowing a passer rating of 111 in his coverage. Let's go back to the matchups. Scott Fish, the Colts take on the Lions. T.Y. Hilton is being outright dropped in many leagues, and understandably
rightfully
so. Does he have a chance against a pretty bad secondary?
No, I still don't think so.
Okay.
In fact, I don't like much of this passing game. Rivers finally had his first startable fantasy day last week since week one.
Yeah.
Like, I have him on the bench. I have Pascal on the bench. I know it's an okay matchup. It's actually more middle of the pack. But the Colts have had a different target leader at wide receiver in three straight weeks at this point. The Lions, 10th worst against wide receivers. But if you look into it, the receivers that did well, that made those giant amounts that got them to 10th worst, Hopkins, huge game. Julio, huge game. And Keelan Cole had a 51-yard, a 35-yard, and a 24-yard catch in garbage time to get his 160-yard day or whatever. The big days have come from garbage time or true studs. The Colts don't have any of those guys. So I have the passing game on the bench, except for Trey Burton, who has five red zone targets in the last three games. And that doesn't even count as goal line touchdown run.
Yeah.
So he's getting
available in a lot of leagues, by the way, Trey Burton.
Yeah, he's got five or more targets in each game he's played. With tight ends the way they are, I'll give him a C here. The Lions have allowed every tight end to get at least every tight end with at least three targets have topped 65 yards or scored.
Wow.
I think Burton can get that. So okay. C grade on him. I'm giving a B grade on Taylor, though. I think finally this is a game where Taylor might start to show a little bit. The problem is he's broken 11 tackles this year. He's got that great offensive line, and he's not breaking tackles.
Yeah, that's a worry.
That's a big problem. Lions are fifth worst against opposing running backs. Taylor has been pretty pedestrian, but he's going to get all the carries. He's been getting all the carries, and the Lions have allowed 9 touchdowns in 6 games.
Nine times?
All running backs to top 14 touches, which Taylor gets every single game, have top 70 yards or scored. I think Taylor can get that. I'm giving him B grade here.
Yeah, sounds right.
On the other side, the Colts have been surprisingly very good against fantasy quarterbacks. They've allowed just 7 passing touchdowns in 6 games. They did allow a rushing touchdown, but since Philip Rivers is the only starting quarterback in the NFL with 0 yards rushing.
Is it zero?
He's at zero. He's the only quarterback. He had a 3 yard rush and 3 kneel downs. So, and they have allowed the fewest passing yards by a pretty fairly wide margin. So I have Stafford on the bench. I have Galladay with an A grade. I don't care if he gets Rhodes or if he gets Rakusin. Those two have stayed on their sides, and Marvin Jones and Galladay switch. So you're going to see Galladay and Marvin Jones get equal shares of each. I'm going to give Marvin Jones a C because on the times he's up against Xavier Rhodes, do you remember what Marvin Jones did Xavier Rhodes in Minnesota?
Destroyed him as a Viking.
I'm just giving him a C grade based on that.
I don't blame him.
Obviously, 3 touchdowns coming from Marvin Jones in this game.
Could be.
But by the way, and I'm benching him. This is a weird stat I pulled in as I was looking against the Colts here. No receiver shorter than 6'3 has topped 65 yards on them.
That is weird.
So you need to be a big wide receiver or Marvin Jones against Xavier Rhodes. So I'm giving a B to Hockenson, at least 50 yards and or a touchdown in every game this year.
I know. For everybody that sort of got out of Hockenson last year with the injury plagued rookie season, maybe 1 year too early.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean,
he's back now.
Tight ends rookie years anyway.
I know. There's that.
Yeah.
Tell that to Harrison Bryan.
And the Colts have not been tested at all at tight end. They're good against tight ends, but they haven't been tested by anyone. DeAndre Swift and Peterson here in the running game. Peterson's a little banged up and Swift has overtaken that role. So I got Peterson on the bench. I got Swift with a B grade. Here's a terrible stat, though, about Swift.
Okay.
This is from Mike Tagliere, Fantasy Pros. 39.5% of Swift's rushing yards came off of 2 carries.
Yeah.
That's a lot off of 2 carries. But his snap percentage, his touches surpassed
Peterson each of the last two weeks. It's all trending the right way.
Yeah, 3 straight games, 3 touchdowns last 2 weeks. Yeah, I got a B grade on Swift.
All right, that sounds about right. B grade on Swift. It's not too late to join a Guillotine League. This is the hot new format that is sweeping fantasy football. The premise is,
Matt, I just joined one this week.
You did?
Yeah,
oh, that's great.
I started another one for my Shock Fantasy friends.
I love it.
It's awesome.
GuillotineLeagues.com, the premise, for those that don't know, every week the low-scoring team gets cut and all their players go to the waiver wire where it's pandemonium for the rest of us as we get this influx of all this great new talent. All you have to do is not be last any given week. The last team standing wins the whole thing. GuillotineLeagues.com. League's still continuing to form even now at this stage of the season. When we come back, Chargers take on the Broncos. We'll tell you whether or not Justin Herbert will continue the hot streak he's on when we return. Football Weekly. I'm Paul Charchian. Your co-hosts today are Scott Fish and Matt Harrison. Got a few more matchups to get to in this segment, including Chargers taking on the Broncos. Matt, Justin Herbert has been nothing short of a revelation at quarterback and has re-energized the Chargers.
Yeah.
How do you like him against the Broncos this week?
Do you remember former Saints quarterback Bobby Hebert?
I do very well.
I want to call him Justin Herbert.
Herbert? Aw. Okay.
Herbert has been awesome, averaging 308 yards and 2.5 touchdowns per game. Problem is, the Broncos' defense has been really, really good lately, allowing only one touchdown pass over their last three games. That's one total in three games. No quarterback topped 230 yards in that span. And by the way, they faced Patrick Mahomes, Cam Newton, and Sam Darnold.
Well, still.
So, but still, I mean, they're pretty good. So I'm giving him a B grade. I am giving Keenan Allen an A grade. It's been the slot receiver that's burned the Broncos so far this year. Chris Godwin, Jamison Crowder each beat the Broncos for good days, while Chase Claypool and Tyreek Hill also had decent games flexing in and out of the slot. So he's had double-digit targets in every game that he started and finished with Air Bear. So I think Keenan Allen's a solid A here. Mike Williams is on the bench, though. Speaking of games that Allen has started and finished, Williams is averaging one catch per game in games where Allen finishes
the
game.
That's a great stat.
Yikes.
That is the best stat of this show so far.
Hunter Henry is top six amongst tight ends in targets, receptions, and yards. He's a solid B in this game. The Broncos have not allowed a touchdown to a tight end since week one. They did help hold Travis Kelce to only three catches and 31 yards last week, but Henry's still been one of Air Bear's favorite players. And Joshua Kelly, he had 38 snaps last week, while Justin Jackson had 31. Kelly had 17 touches. Jackson had 10. That's pretty much flipped from the week before. Both are kind of mired in a straight hot hand timeshare this week against the Denver defense that has allowed only two total touchdowns to the running back position through six games. They're only allowing 3.9 yards per carry. I'd bench them both. If you have to play one, it's Kelly, but I'd leave them both on the bench if I could. Let's go over to the Broncos side, where it's the long-awaited Melvin Gordon revenge game, and it seems to come at a perfect time for him, where he's likely a bell cow again, as Philip Lindsay is still limited in practice with a concussion, probably won't go in this one, and the Chargers are giving up 137 total yards and two scores to James Robinson just last week, 122 total yards to Alvin Kamara the week before. I like Melvin Gordon with a solid B here. Putting Drew Lock on the bench, great stat from Evan Silva. In his nine career starts, Lock has 12 interceptions and 14 fumbles.
Wow.
And 170 passing yards per game.
That's Daniel Jones' numbers from last year.
That is not good.
He's gross. And his wide receivers are all on the bench, too. Jerry Jeudy's averaging three catches per game. Tim Patrick's dealing with a hamstring injury, probably won't play. Deshaun Hamilton and KJ Hamler are warm bodies at best. Fish liked Albert O in this one. I do too. And Noah Fant, I'm giving them both a B. Fant is super solid, had seven targets again last week, and the wide receiver situation is an absolute disaster. The Chargers have allowed big tight end days to every tight end that you'd actually consider starting. The only ones that haven't done well were the Bengals tight ends, the Panthers tight ends, and the Jaguars tight ends.
And they don't even technically have tight ends.
They're not even on your roster.
No, that's really interesting because I think Noah Fant is going to be a top five fantasy tight end the rest
I
of this year.
Fant.
He could be.
That whole path, he's the best playmaker they have on
offense.
They could
definitely rock two tight end sets most of the rest of the year. Mm-hmm. And I think both are in for, you know, a pretty good rest of the season.
Justin
Air Bear.
Air.
Oh, no.
The Justin Air Bear.
Oh, no.
What do you think? If we're going to go with Air Bear.
Brianne, how'd you get a bear sound so quickly?
That was very well done.
Hanging out in here with me.
Yeah, that's right, with the bear. That's we could have the Justin Air Bear.
Okay, there we go.
There you have. We can find better bear sounds, probably.
That's what Brianne meditates to. This is bear sounds, generally.
Yeah, very peaceful bear sounds.
Steelers the crap out of me.
Steelers take on the Ravens. We'll start with the running game and James Conner. He posted 55 yards in his one game against the Ravens last year. In Baltimore's last four games, starting running backs they've faced have averaged 51 yards and just 3.1 yards per carry. They've only allowed two total running back scores all year, so James Conner is just a C grade in this matchup. You probably have to start him because it's a tough bye week, and he's been reliable to this point, but I don't love him in this matchup, and you shouldn't either. Let's go to the passing game where Ben Roethlisberger, also a rare C grade for him, and probably the toughest game on this year's schedule for Roethlisberger in the passing game as he travels to Baltimore to face arguably the NFL's best secondary. Aside from the Ravens' letdown against Patrick Mahomes, the average game is 234 yards and 0.8 passing touchdowns. That's it. So probably a tough game coming for Ben Roethlisberger. Over the bye week, it doesn't help that Baltimore added rusher Yannick Ngakoue to bolster their otherwise relatively average pass rush. And Roethlisberger's going to have to face him, too. So just the C grade there. C grade on Juju Smith-Schuster. He'll go up against slot cornerback Marlon Humphrey, who is graded fifth overall by Pro Football Focus at the cornerback position and owns just a 75 passer rating in his coverage. That said, he has allowed plenty of receptions, and Juju should probably see more targets with Deontay Johnson hobbled by injury, which brings us to Deontay Johnson, who, by the way, I love Deontay Johnson. Can you just finish a freaking game? Yeah. You're killing me. I love to see the two touchdowns last week, but I don't know how much more of this my heart can take because I've rostered him everywhere. Love this game. The Ravens have allowed just three wide receiver touchdowns all year, and just one opposing wide receiver has topped 100 yards all season long. Baltimore's cornerback duo of Jimmy Smith and Marcus Peters would present problems for even a fully healthy Johnson, and obviously that won't be the case this week, so just a C grade on Johnson and a C grade on Chase Claypool, who's done little in games in which Deontay Johnson's been on the field, and you're almost banking on him leaving the game if you're going to start Chase Claypool. Johnson plans to play, and a matchup with Baltimore is not easy, as I mentioned. The one angle you've got here, he's got a big size differential on Marcus Peters, who he will run against often, and I think that's your glimmer of hope for Chase Claypool is a potential touchdown, box-out touchdown.
I call him Clay Chase Pool too sometimes.
Did I just do that?
No.
Okay. I did tweet that once by accident. All right, let's go to the Baltimore side where Lamar Jackson, you know, that passing attack for Baltimore just has looked out of sync all year. And a game against the Steelers doesn't feel like a get right opportunity. Since the opener, get this, Lamar Jackson's average passing game since the opener, 173 yards and 1.4 touchdowns. That's all.
Those are like Drew Lock numbers.
Those are very Lockean. That's in the conversation also with Cam Newton, and that's not good, and we may talk more about that a little later. I think the team had really hoped for sophomores Marquise Brown and Miles Boykin to make a big step up this year. That really hasn't happened, unfortunately. No opposing quarterback has topped two touchdowns against the Steelers. No quarterback has run for more than 22 yards against the Steelers.
Their pressure rate is insane. It's like 40% of the time they get to the quarterback.
I'm almost banking on the pressure flushing out Jackson, and then he just goes and runs.
That's what you got to hope for.
I think he's sitting on a one-touchdown passing game, and we're hoping he chips in 50 yards and a coin flip's chance at a rushing touchdown. And that equates to a B grade for Lamar Jackson. The receivers, it's not great. Mark Andrews, just a C. It's been a Jekyll and Hyde season for Mark Andrews with three good games and three terrible ones. This game, unfortunately, has got dud written all over it. Pittsburgh's allowed just one touchdown to tight ends all year, and that was way back in week two. They've also allowed a tight end to top two catches or 30 yards once. It's all bad.
Yeah.
Then Marquise Brown, like Andrews, it's been a boomer bust season for Brown. And while the matchup is tough, I'll mention the Steelers have allowed multiple wide receiver touchdowns in three of their last four games. And other opponents' top receivers have posted big games, including Travis Fulgham and A.J. Brown, who both scored and topped 150 yards recently. Marquise is the top receiving target here. So he does get a C grade, and we'll hope he does better going forward. J.K. Dobbins was Scott Fish's take a chance on me player. I think you could also, in a pinch, especially in a bye week, give Gus Edwards a try. He's been the Ravens' best runner all year to my eyes.
Yep.
In Baltimore's last game after Ingram went out, Ingram got a huge spike in usage with season highs in touches and plays, and he scored on a carry from inside the 10-yard line in the Ravens' last game. So we're going to hope that that happens again here, and we've got a C grade on Gus Edwards. If you like what you hear in Fantasy Football Weekly, but maybe you have more questions, you're not sure who to bench and who to start, we encourage you to check out all of my player rankings available at guillotineleagues.com. And Matt Harrison, what's happening at Shock Fantasy?
Oh, we do the Super Dash every week that's got this huge dashboard that's got so many good stats. It's the stats that I use to build my matchups for Fantasy Football Weekly. So you can see what I'm looking at, and also the Shock Fantasy podcast. We nailed Curtis Samuel last night.
Oh,
absolutely nailed it.
You don't say.
Yeah.
Curtis Samuel, nicely done. When we come back, three tough questions for our panel of experts. Play along, see if you can go 3-0. Welcome back. Hour number two of Fantasy Football Weekly. I am Paul Charchian, co-host today, Scott Fish and Matt Harrison. This is a game we call Three Tough Questions. I will pepper my co-host with three tough questions. They'll try to get them right, and you can play along. Try to go 3-0.
Tough question number one.
After back-to-back-to-back underwhelming performances, what's the appropriate level of concern for those with Josh Allen? None? Some? Or a bowel-loosening level of existential dread? Scott?
I think it's some. He still had over 100 yards on the ground in the last 2 weeks with 17 carries, but the big issue isn't as much Allen as it is they can't run the ball. This allows defenses to key on Allen. If you're worried about Allen at all, it's because you don't fully believe in Zach Moss to get the run game going.
Oh, no.
Now that he's back from injury. They have four negative matchups, one positive, four neutral, not the greatest schedule. I actually really like what Brian Daboll has been doing. I think he can right the ship, but I don't think we're going to see that top three we saw in the first couple weeks. So really, let's be honest, this is just Charge disguising a Zach Moss question as a Josh Allen question.
You broke the code! Matt.
Fish stole a lot of what I was going to say. I think his schedule's a little bit harder than he led on. According to the Shock Fantasy metrics, they have the fifth hardest schedule for the remainder of the season, including week 13 with the Niners, then Steelers, then Broncos, then Patriots in the playoff run. All of those are proving to be pretty tough matchups for quarterbacks. Still, he has thrown for multiple scores in 6 of 7 this year, and his running ability hasn't vanished. He might be the best running back on the roster.
You shut up.
So I'll just say some because of the upcoming difficult schedule.
The correct answer is none. Even in his three bad games, he's thrown multiple touchdowns in 2 out of 3. And just the nature of who he is, I think he's going to have some big passing games where the deep balls connect and some where they just don't. But his running just neutralizes the downside. Yeah. He's got to have the bad passing game and the bad running game together before he gives you the rare dud, dual dud. And it almost never happens. Even last week, he had no touchdowns, but he chipped in 61 rushing yards. The 61 rushing yards, you know, 6.1 points, that's a touchdown and a half passing.
Yeah.
So the downside just isn't there.
Nope.
And you're right about the playoff schedule. Playoff schedule is not good, but that's still only 3 games out of the rest of the season, and we still got a long way to go. Not worried about Josh Allen.
I mean, generally, you want to do well in the playoffs, though.
Tough question number two.
What's the appropriate level of concern for those with slumping running back Ezekiel Elliott? None? Some? Or a bowel-loosening level of existential dread? Matt.
Well, you sure like to talk about bowels.
There's a lot of bowel talk on this.
How's your bowel feeling?
It's got a fungus, I hear.
I think it's feeling pretty loose right now. Good thing I have a bidet at my house.
Yeah, you do.
The Cowboys have
You need double and triple cleaning materials.
The bidet is fantastic.
Bleaching, brushing,
so fantastic. So clean.
Applying the sealant.
You don't know about the three seashells.
Boy.
The Cowboys have no offensive line. They're down to their third string quarterback who might be delivering pizzas next week. Plus, their schedule is by far the most difficult running back schedule the rest of the way. Matchups with 6 top 10 run defenses on the horizon, and they have a bye in there, make Zeke very undesirable. His only good matchups the rest of the way are Minnesota in week 11 and Cincy in week 14. That's it. Mm. Bowel loosening level of existential dread.
All right.
Wow.
Scott?
Wow.
Ezekiel Elliott, what's the appropriate level of concern?
Given the running back landscape and all the injuries and the fact that Ezekiel Elliott has still never missed a game except for that 6-game suspension, I'm just going with some because he's going to be the 12 to 13 to 20 carry touch guy. This last game was the first game this season he's had under 20 touches. And the Cowboys can't sustain drives. So obviously you have to have some concern, but given this landscape, man, I'm not, it's not existential dread for me.
Well, this question is not about the landscape. This question is about Ezekiel Elliott and your
bowel-loosening level of existential dread. I'm still starting.
Let's take the emotion.
Did I get one right and Fish got one wrong?
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Let's take the emotion out of this and go straight to the numbers. Are you ready?
That he'll still be startable every game, pretty much.
Since Dak got knocked out, he's running back 40 among running backs, yeah, obviously. He has zero 100-yard rushing games this year. Mm-hmm. Talking about Ezekiel Elliott. Five fumbles, worst among all running backs. Four drops, tied for most among all running backs.
Mm.
Two of those drops turned into interceptions, worst among running backs. Seven quarterback hits allowed in pass protection, worst among running backs. This is Ezekiel Elliott. Declining yards per carry in three straight games. Receiving numbers, way, way down. Last three games.
Eight catches 2 weeks ago.
14 yards, 31 yards, 6 yards.
Okay.
In receiving yards.
You convinced me. Everybody charge
average.
Drop Ezekiel Elliott right now.
Sabotage drop.
Zeke is averaging less than 2 yards after contact.
Yeah, it's not
he
good.
Is a 4 yard after contact guy for his career. And here's the part that should, if those numbers didn't scare you enough on this, the holiday Halloween weekend, his snap count has dropped massively over the last two games. He is usually an 85 to 95% snap count guy. The last 2 weeks with all of this happening, he's fallen into the mid 60% on snap counts, and Tony Pollard has seen career highs. This team is starting to put the better running back in the game.
Ooh, look at that.
Or they're taking mileage off their umpteen million-dollar back in a season that's pretty much lost.
Either way, the appropriate level of concern, bowel-loosening levels of existential dread. Let's go to our third and final.
Tough question number three.
What is the appropriate level of concern for those with Jonnu Smith? My guy, none, some, or a bowel-loosening level of existential dread?
Man, Scott? A Zach Moss question and a Jonnu Smith question. Charge, have you seen Jonnu Smith play when healthy?
Oh, God, have I. You think I haven't broken down all that tape alone?
Are you concerned with Patrick Mahomes' arm talent when healthy? Were you concerned about Michael Phelps' swimming ability in his prime? Were you concerned about Michael Jordan being able to score 20 points when the other team pissed him off?
No. No,
no,
I wasn't.
No, Jonnu has been hurt. Don't worry about, that's all I have to say. Don't worry about Jonnu, he has been hurt. This offense is good, and he's going to get his opportunities when he's fully healthy.
Matt?
My kids have a poster of every one of those guys on the wall, including Jonnu Smith.
As well they should.
There's no Jonnu Smith worry here. Tannehill's been much better than expected. Jonnu got a bit dinged up, and after a run of tough defenses from weeks 9 through 12, he's got the best playoff schedule for tight ends that I've ever seen. Three bottom six tight end defenses in the playoffs, including Jacksonville, Detroit, and Green Bay. If you play in week 17, he gets Houston, which is another one. There's no worry about Jonnu Smith here.
Did you guys know, and I'm sure you didn't, I only learned it this week, that in South Asia, many of the languages, Jonnu means my love.
Mm.
So from here forward, we are referring to him as Jonnu Smith. My love, Jonnu Smith. Highest scoring tight end on a per game basis prior to his ankle injury. He's three games removed from that injury. He's probably in a good spot right now when he gets the Bengals this week. And they're arguably the worst team against tight ends in the entire league. We are not at all worried about Jonnu Smith. Let's get back to the matchups and the Titans taking on the Bengals. What a fantastic transition opportunity this is right here.
What a segue.
Absolutely perfect. Jonnu Smith, obvious A grade.
Obviously an A grade. I just compared him to some of the greats of all time.
Of every sport. The Pele of soccer.
Did you worry about Muhammad Ali when he was in the corner? The Bengals have allowed 6 tight end touchdowns in just the last 3 weeks. That's what Jonnu Smith gets to go up against. A team that has allowed the second most yards and the fourth most receptions to tight ends. This is a smash. A-grade Jonnu Smith
start. Are you firing up Anthony Firkser for this one, too?
I don't know. I think it's. I thought you were going to ask if I was going to aardvark this thing.
Oh,
I,
you can.
You had an aardvark look to your
please,
face.
Please, I don't have a great aardvark this week. If Jonnu Jonnu is your aardvark, please go right ahead. Would you like to?
I don't know that Jonnu Jonnu has an aardvark here, but I'm giving him an A grade. Derrick Henry, I have on the bench. No, I'm just kidding. It's clear A grade. The Bengals could be the 85 Bears right now, and I'm probably still starting Derrick Henry. And hint, they're not that good. They've allowed the fourth most rushing yards to running backs. Tannehill, also an A grade. I like the Titans a lot this week. 16 touchdowns in six games, and the one game he didn't throw multiple touchdowns, he threw for 321 yards.
Not bad.
On the other side, the Bengals have allowed multiple touchdowns every game since week one, where Tyrod Taylor wasn't able to.
Wow.
So
okay.
Herbert would have done it. Sorry, Air Bear.
Air Bear. That's right. The Air Bear. Hold on.
Roar.
Hey, that's good.
Whoa. Oh, that's a lion. That's not a bear?
They're not interchangeable.
No, they're not. I know a lion roar when I hear one.
That was like the MGM lion right
that
there.
Was. That's more like a bear. That. All right, we'll go with that. All right, we'll call it a bear.
A.J. Brown with the A grade, nearly 300 yards and four touchdowns in the last 3 weeks, the main man for Tannehill. And I'm giving Corey Davis a courtesy C grade. I'm being really nice to him because the first game back, he saw 10 targets in week one with Janu and Brown both healthy. He got his two that week. Like, they were able to coexist. So I think there's potential here for him to coexist here. He might be the odd man out, but I'm giving him a C grade. The second wide receiver against the Bengals this year has consistently been in that 40 to 75 yard range, and many of them scored touchdowns.
Okay.
So Corey Davis with a C grade.
Remains playable. Got it.
I have this game as just an ultimate shootout, so I have a lot of really good grades for the Bengals as well.
Really?
Yes.
Well, now let's mention up front, Bengals are going to be without their left tackle,
their offensive
line, right tackle, and their starting center. I'm worried about this.
They're actually pulling up two practice squad guys to be in reserve for the offensive line this week.
I don't know that offensive line is going to spring the Bengals for a lot here.
Joe Burrow has legs. He can move around, but also he's been sacked 127 times this year. The line hasn't been that good already.
Yes.
So it's more about this matchup. Burrow leads the league in attempts and completions, has five games over 300 yards, trailing Andrew Luck, who had six. So he's probably going to break that, going to smash the rookie passing record. They will play from behind probably in this one. The Titans have allowed 250 plus yards and multiple touchdowns to five straight passers. I got that for Burrow here too. Playing from behind, he's gonna have to throw a lot. That's why I actually have all three of their receivers in my top 25 this week.
I just don't know if he's going to have enough time to pass effectively. I'm nervous.
Oh, I'm not. I'm not. Tyler Boyd, you were mentioning one of their cornerback just went out. Kurtzner, maybe?
Not sure.
Yeah, okay. The Titans have allowed the third most receptions to wide receivers, the fourth most fantasy points. They've given up five wide receiver touchdowns in just the last two games. And A.J. Green's got 24 targets in the last two. He's yet to score, but the targets are there. The efficiency is starting to come around. I actually have A grades on both of them, and I have a B grade on Higgins. As I said, I really like him this week. He's got 4-plus catches in five straight, 60-plus in four straight. He can get a big play. I have great grades on all of them.
All right.
Gio Bernard, last one, run game. This is tough. This is where I would have liked him a lot more if the offensive line was better. I'm giving him a C grade just because his 15-plus touches are probably going to happen, and he's been a double-digit fantasy guy every time he's been the lead back with Mixon out or even back in the old days. So I'm giving him a courtesy C grade on volume.
Yeah, I had a B grade on him before all these injuries to the offensive line. I had to lower him to the C territory as well for Gio Bernard. When we come back, 49ers take on the Seahawks. Fascinating matchup in that the Niners want to run, but the Seahawks are really good against the run. The Seahawks want to pass, but the Niners are really good against the pass.
Or are they?
Oh, we'll find out when we come back to Fantasy Football Weekly. Football Weekly. I am Paul Charchian. My co-hosts are Scott Fish and Matt Harrison. The Niners take on the Seahawks, Matt. Interesting game in that, in many ways, it's two flawed teams, but it feels like what the one team does well, the other team stops, and I don't know that these teams are able to get in the normal kind of rhythm that they have been in. Now, you loved the Niners in our Take a Chance on the segment. You gave us three different 49ers as your Take a Chance on Me players.
And I wanted to mention, some people have said, hey, what were the grades on those Take a Chance on Me guys?
Well, so yes, they have.
Jimmy Garoppolo, Jamichael Hasty, and Brandon Ayuk all get B grades as my Take a Chance on Me players this week. George Kittle gets an A. Kittle has never scored against the Seahawks, but 7 for 86 and 6 for 70 in his last two trips to the Emerald City. Mm-hmm. And it's worth noting that Seattle hasn't allowed a touchdown to the tight end this year. But with all the injuries to the running backs and wide receivers, it's hard to believe that Kittle won't be a focal point in this one. So he's still getting an A.
Okay.
Kendrick Bourne and Trent Taylor are on the bench. Bourne has topped four receptions once in his career and topped 75 yards exactly zero times in 3 years. Taylor's the slot guy and has had eight targets from Jimmy G on the year. Sweet matchup. Just can't trust the players against this awesome Seattle matchup here.
Okay.
Tevin Coleman and Jerick McKinnon, I'm putting them both on the bench. After I touted Hasty, I clearly imagine one of these two miraculously becoming healthy and getting 22 touches.
I think McKinnon's going to have a big workload here because he is rested from his weak legs.
His tired legs.
Yes.
By the way, Coleman, his last game out was week two. It was against the Jets. He had 14 carries for 12 yards.
I've been saying this
Tevin
for like 3 years.
Coleman is
he's not
so bad.
Good.
So bad. So he's definitely on the bench. I guess I could give Jerick McKinnon probably a C. If it looks like he's healthy and going to be the starter,
we have no reason to think he's not healthy. He's not on the injury report. He's healthy.
One of the weird things that Shanahan consistently does, even when he's got a Jamichael Hasty, like we saw it with Jeff Wilson just a couple weeks ago when he had Hasty, He takes the veteran and shoves him back in because he trusts the veteran.
I think McKinnon is the sneaky play here.
You might be right. Russell Wilson, Charch, you alluded to the Niners having a really good secondary this year, pass defense.
Yeah,
Niners have played exactly two good quarterbacks this year.
Tell me more.
Kyler Murray and Ryan Fitzpatrick were the two that they played that were good. And notice Stu Beard's in there.
I appreciate that.
Yeah,
thank you.
Two of the best rushing quarterbacks in the NFL.
That's right. Other than that, I don't think any of these guys are particularly good passers, but the list is Sam Darnold, Carson Wentz, Jared Goff, Cam Newton, and Daniel Jones. I almost said Scam Newton.
But
there's some bad passers in there. Now, Stubbeard,
Wentz is a good passer, and Goff's a good passer. Not great, but they're good passers.
Yeah.
And the Stubbeard Niners ranked third in passing yards.
Okay, so Stubbeard had 350 yards and three scores. Kyler had 230 and a score through the air and another 91 and a score on the ground. And by the way, Russell Wilson built a lot more like Kyler than some of these other quarterbacks, so he could get going. I got Russell Wilson as a solid A grade. And I'm giving A grades to both Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf. In those two games against good quarterbacks, the wide receivers did well too. DeAndre Hopkins had 14 catches for 151. Preston Williams had 4 catches for 106 and a score. Devontae Parker even had 50 yards and a score in that game. So I think that they're both sitting on A grades. And now the running back position. Boy, this is a mess. Game time decisions for Chris Carson, Carlos Hyde, and Travis Homer, all questionable with various injuries. It's been flipping back and forth who's the most healthy, who's the least healthy.
And by the way, late afternoon start.
Yes.
So you're probably not going to have answers for this when the early games kick off.
I think that you're benching everybody, including rookie DJ Dallas, who is the only healthy guy on the depth chart right now. The Niners have allowed the fewest fantasy points to opposing running backs on the air. And if one of the above injured guys is active, it totally takes out the timeshare angle with DJ Dallas. So they're all on the bench.
Yeah, I think that's the safe play given what we don't know going into that game. Vikings take on the Packers, and this is going to be, in all probability, a one-sided affair with a battered Vikings defense. Let's start with the Vikings offense, though, and Dalvin Cook, who does get an A grade. Packers are allowing 158 total yards and 1.4 touchdowns. That is the fourth most and the second most, respectively, to opposing running backs on a per-game basis. And that's, I think the Vikings are going to try to run for as long as they can and keep Aaron Jones off the field. They want to replicate the game they had against
Jamal
Seattle.
Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, I was trying to say Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
But that's okay. Feel free to interrupt.
Any of
anyway, it's okay. I don't mind.
Keep all Packers off the field.
That sounded facetious.
Cook has had great luck against the Packers, averaging 135 total yards and 1.3 touchdowns per game against the Packers. Again, what I was going to say, trying to replicate exactly what they did to Seattle, although in a losing effort a few weeks ago, where they kept Russell Wilson off the field by just running the whole game and eating up the clock. That's their only real way to victory here. So I think we'll see plenty of Dalvin Cook. The other A grade is Justin Jefferson. See if you can follow me on this. Packers have got one elite cornerback, Jaire Alexander. Mm-hmm. He shadows the opposing number one. I believe that will be Adam Thielen will be the number one because Thielen has roasted this Packers team in the past, really for several years. So I believe that that'll be the case, and that puts Justin Jefferson on far inferior coverage with Josh Jackson, who ranks as quarterback 73 by Pro Football Focus. So Justin Jefferson, I think, potentially sitting a very good game. He ranks, by the way, number one by Pro Football Focus among all receivers, not just rookies, all receivers.
Mm-hmm. Also, if it does become a really windy game, Justin Jefferson's average depth of target is much less than Adam Thielen this year.
All right, so that might be safer as well. He might have more routes that are a little shorter than the line of scrimmage. Mm-hmm. Thielen drops to a B level here. Again, the Jaire Alexander shadow coverage is part of why. Although he battled him gamely in the opener, and he scored twice and put up 110 yards, and so he can beat Jaire Alexander. He's proven it already. But over the past three games, Alexander has held Will Fuller, Mike Evans, and Julio Jones, three other very good receivers, to under 50 yards. Kirk Cousins was my take a chance on me quarterback. You heard that earlier in the show. He is a C grade. Now, let's go to the Packers side. The Vikings are going to be without their number one, number two, and number four cornerbacks.
Yikes.
The cornerbacks they're going to put on the field as starters.
Matt Harrison.
Scott Hand, Fish.
Matt Harrison Hand. The three guys that they will start, Gladney, Hand, and Fields, have a combined six NFL starts against Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams, who are obvious A's.
There's something better than an A.
Why, yes, there is.
Ooh, there we go.
There's the fantasy aardvark, the double A aardvark.
Double aardvarks.
If there's ever a time for the double A aardvark, it's the double Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams, who's got two A's in Adams as well.
Yeah.
Yes. So we'll go with that. Staying with the passing game, Marquez Valdes-Scantling is a C grade here as a bit of a dart throw. The Vikings are allowing the most touchdowns and fourth most yards to opposing wideouts. And Valdes-Scantling had an explosive game against the Vikings in the opener. But I'll mention this. He's done basically nothing else all year. Mm-hmm. So total dart throw on Marquez Valdes-Scantling. But you'll never get a better matchup than this. He had a good matchup last week and didn't do anything either. So there's
he's had
a lot of
several
risk
good matchups. He played Atlanta, did nothing. And,
right.
Yeah.
A lot of risk. Robert Tonyan is a...
Tonyan.
Thank you. That's right.
Yeah,
Robert Tonyan.
Funyuns.
Is a C grade. After not allowing a touchdown to tight ends through the first 4 weeks, the Vikings have allowed a touchdown in their previous two games. And he is a touchdown-dependent player, so I think you got a crack at a touchdown here. Vikings are also going to be short one of their linebackers as well due to COVID.
Jeez,
and
it's defense.
Second to lastly, going to the running game, Jamal Williams, A grade with Aaron Jones out. Williams got 90% of the snaps last week without Jones, and he's been over 50% in three straight weeks anyway. Vikings are middle of the pack run defense, giving up 4 yards per carry. Game script will work in Williams' favor here as the Vikings figure to be trailing throughout much of this game. And I'll note, though, that the Vikings have held their last three starting running backs to an average of just 54 yards per game. So the run defense has been okay lately, but man, it feels like
defense also had Yannick Ngakoue on it.
It did, which it doesn't anymore.
Nope.
Hey, one other thing to mention in this windy game with the conditions could be an issue, and you'll want to check it before kickoff. Mason Crosby, their kicker for the Packers, probably not going to play in this game. So you may need to be searching for an emergency kicker if you have Mason Crosby. Let's try to work in one more matchup, and that is, Scott, the Patriots taking on the Bills. I think we've reached a point where you can't start any Patriots anymore?
No, not at all.
All right, well, that's where we are.
Yeah, Edelman's out, Harry's out, the running backs are a mess, the Bills are tough against everything. The Bills have allowed several multi-touchdown games, but Cam has just three passing touchdowns.
Unbelievable.
In his five starts, that's fewer touchdowns than Tom Brady had last week.
Yeah.
That's insane. In the last 4 weeks, a different wide receiver has led the team in targets every week. And only once this season has a New England wide receiver topped 80 yards.
Wow.
Yeah, they're on the bench.
They're on the bench.
They're terrible. On the other side.
By the way, we should mention Julian Edelman out.
Yeah, Edelman and Harry
maybe,
out.
And maybe out for a long time.
Yeah,
some surgery. People think it's a career ender for him. We'll see.
Mm, yeah, he's at that point. On the other side, I give Allen a B grade. He still has that super safe floor due to his rushing. Had 17 rush attempts in the last 2 weeks, which we mentioned earlier. Last week, he failed to have multiple touchdowns. Mm. The Pats held down Locke and Garoppolo and Fitz, but gave okay days to Carr, Mahomes, Wilson. Allen is far closer to those other three who had multiple touchdowns, so I got a B grade over on Allen. Now onto the passing game. John Brown has practiced fully. He's going to play, which messes up stuff a little bit. If I told you that Cole Beasley was wide receiver 19 on the season before
amazing.
The season.
Wow.
He's what people thought Juju Smith-Schuster was going to be.
I think you're right about that.
Yeah. So basically, Beasley and Crowder are what you hoped for Juju Smith-Schuster.
I believe that comparison happened last week.
Did it?
I think you're right, actually.
Oh, man. I didn't remember it. 25 targets in the last three games. There may be a case here if Gilmore does play, he'd be on Diggs and Beasley would have the better matchup. If Gilmore doesn't play, they all get better matchups. I had a C grade on Beasley. If Gilmore doesn't play, I think I'm moving it to a B and a B on Diggs as well, because with no Gilmore, Diggs is going to get his targets. He's got at least 6 catches in all but one game. John Brown, I'm giving a C grade too, but it's hard to trust him. He's gone out of one game. He's missed 3 other games. When he's played the full game,
he's been good.
He's like a 70 to 80 yards and a touchdown guy.
Yeah.
And he's practiced fully. So I'm definitely going to give him a starting grade, but it's always a little bit of a risk. With the running backs.
I know.
Yeah. It's
not great.
Zach Moss. Excuse me. Zach Moss, Bills are passing over 60% of the time. And when they run it, a lot of it's with Josh Allen. Moss and Singletary are splitting touches down the middle. If I have to start one, it's Moss. I'm giving him a courtesy C grade.
Courtesy?
Yeah. Just because I'm in the room with Charch and he's going to get mad and fire me. Singletary's snap percentage has dropped 3 weeks in a row. So if Moss gets more work.
Singletary's been bad.
I'll give Moss the C grade just so I don't get fired.
It's worth it. One quick note while we wrap up this segment about Cam Newton and how bad he's been. I was trying to find a comparable for his passing this year. I couldn't find any active quarterback who's as bad as Cam Newton, so I had to go really into the depths.
Okay.
You guys remember Jamarcus Purple Drank Russell?
Sure, mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah, Cam is throwing 50% fewer touchdowns and 50% more interceptions than Jamarcus Russell did in his career on a per-game basis. That's how bad it is for Cam Newton right now. Terrible. When we come back, premature speculation. 3 players you can pick up now that everybody else is going to want to pick up next week, but they're already on your team. Premature speculation coming up next. Welcome back. Fantasy Football Weekly, final segment of the show. If you are listening to this over the air, you can also check out the podcast for Fantasy Football Weekly, because you probably missed some part of the 2-hour show if you're listening right now. We encourage you to check out Fantasy Football Weekly on your platform of choice.
Yeah, you got to rewind if you didn't hear about Air Bear.
Air Bear.
Yeah.
Correct.
Or Scott saying nice to random numbers.
Correct. There's been so many epic moments mm-hmm. already in this award-winning episode of Fantasy Football Weekly. Premature speculation is a segment in which we give you a player that you're going to want to pick up now because everybody else is going to try to pick up this player next week. Scott, who is your premature speculation player?
I'm going with Jalen Reagor. I think it's finally time. DeSean Jackson is out for a while. It's been guys like Fulgham and Ward playing. Ertz is still out. He had 96 yards in his first 2 weeks playing with a torn labrum. I mean, he's finally back. Yeah, 14 different receivers have topped 100 yards or scored. He might actually show up this week. But Jalen Reagor, get him. First round pick.
Okay. Matt.
I've got another rookie wide receiver who's been injured. Michael Pittman returned to practice this week, which means the Colts have 21 days to either activate him or put him on IR for the rest of the year, and they wouldn't have him practice if they weren't thinking about activating him. Let's say he sits this week, and let's even say he sits next week against Baltimore. That's fine. After that, he gets Tennessee, Green Bay, Tennessee again, Houston, Vegas, then Houston again.
Man,
those are really, really good runs right there. Everyone but the Packers are bottom six in the league against wide receivers. You couldn't ask for a better schedule for Michael Pittman to come back and take over as wide receiver one in Indy.
He really is. It's not T.Y. Hilton anymore, right? That is a job ripe for the taking. And so many other receivers, rookie receivers, blossomed right around week four, week five.
Mm-hmm.
For him, that's just coming up now because of the time he missed.
Well, and Pittman was starting to as well, but right when he got hurt.
My premature speculation player is Dallas Goedert, currently available in half of leagues. People just dropped him and forgot about Dallas Goedert. Mm-hmm. He may end up playing as fast as this Sunday, and if he does, what a fantastic spot he walks into.
Yeah.
I'll remind you, in the two healthy games he had at the start of the season, 9 targets and 8 targets, and that was when Zach Ertz was on the field.
Yeah.
Now Zach Ertz out at least a month and probably more. Dallas Goedert is going to become the go-to receiver in this offense, and it could happen as fast as this weekend. You'll want to pick him up. He could finish out the season as one of the five highest-scoring tight ends.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be surprised.
Bonus pre-spec. Alan Lazard has started practicing. He's available in 67% of leagues.
I like it. And, man, do they need a second target to throw to there. All right, let's get back to some matchups, including the Cowboys taking on the Eagles. Matt? It's sad how little there is to talk about with the Cowboys anymore.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. I'm giving Ezekiel Elliott a B, and it's kind of a generous B. I guess if it were like a Valentine on the front, it would say B, mine,
yeah,
us.
Mine us?
Mine us.
B, see
what I did there? I did
you
it,
You tricked
Scott.
Me into giving a
yes,
B-minus
I did.
Grade.
Nice.
Zeke has topped. Hey, good job, Scott. Zeke has topped 100 yards in 4 of his last 5 games against the Eagles, but the one he didn't was the most recent game, and he only notched 47 yards on 13 attempts. And we've got Ben DiNucci likely starting, so the Eagles' defense is just going to stack the box against the Cowboys. They were already allowing the fewest yards per carry in the league at 3.3. So it's closer to a C, I think, than even a B here. Passing game, Andy Dalton's still doubtful with that nasty concussion, so Ben DiNucci time. In college, he had 6 touchdown passes and 7 interceptions starting for a full year.
How do you go through a college schedule and throw 6 touchdowns?
How do you put up those stats and get on an NFL roster?
Right. How does that happen?
On the bright side, he did complete 67% of his passes last week. That's 2 of 3. The Eagles defense is pretty good, though. Decently healthy, considering it's the Eagles and the pass rush is legit. Add that in with a messed up O-line, and I think you have the entire passing game on the bench, including Amari Cooper, who will draw Darius Slay, who's been excellent this year. CeeDee Lamb and Michael Gallup can only hope. Ben DiNucci has 2 seconds to throw, and he won't have that. Dalton Schultz also on the bench. And then let's go to the Eagles. Boston Scott was Charges Take a Chance on Me.
Yes.
So was Greg Ward.
Yes.
Carson Wentz was Fishes Take a Chance on Me.
We're doing your work for you.
Yeah, really. Thank you, guys. And then you guys talked about Jalen Reagor and Dallas Goedert as
right,
well.
Exactly.
So
Goddard plays, he's an A, I think.
By the way,
and Sanders is out.
I'm giving Scott and Wentz each A's and Ward a B.
Oh, he gave me an A.
Yeah, good job, Scott.
The other one.
Miles Sanders still not expected to play, neither is Alshon Jeffrey, and their bye week is next week, so if the Eagles wanted to hold them out one more week against a depleted Dallas team, this would probably be a week to give them all an extra game of rest. I don't know if you can start Reagor or Goddard because it's a Sunday night game, so I don't think that you can start either of them. So I am going to give Travis Fulgham an A grade, especially if Reagor sits. It's a B if Reagor comes back.
Rager's not sitting.
He's 7 different perimeter wide receivers have topped 80 yards against the Cowboys this year. 5 of those scored as well. Last guy I'll mention, Richard Rodgers. He gets a B, especially if he's the only tight end in town.
If Goddard doesn't go.
If he probably gets downgraded to a C. Rodgers played in 85% of the snaps last week, had 6 catches for 85 yards. The Eagles throw to their tight ends no matter who it is.
Yep.
So I think that Richard Rodgers is in play both ways.
Saints take on the Bears, and let's start on the Saints side. Alvin Kamara is an obvious A, although I'll mention the Bears defense has been good. Not great, but they've been good against runners all year long. But you're starting Kamara, who's probably got the highest floor of any running back in the league. How about Latavius Murray, you might be asking? C grade here. It's maybe a bye week starting this bye week C grade. Kamara doesn't leave much on the table for Murray, but you know, you get 10 touches, you get 50 total yards, and maybe you get lucky with a touchdown. Although four different backup runners have scored against the Bears, so he's got a chance. So C grade for Latavius Murray. Let's go to the passing game. Lots to not like here. So Marquez Callaway out, Michael Thomas out, Emmanuel Sanders out. So Drew Brees falls to a bench grade. Chicago is allowing less than one touchdown pass per game. And I just don't think you can dump off enough balls to Alvin Kamara to get to a good final number for Drew Brees. So he's on the bench. Jared Cook gets a C grade. The Bears have been around the league average against tight ends in most categories, but they've allowed a tight end to put up at least 50 yards on five occasions, and Cook's recent outings have largely been supported by touchdowns, and the Bears have only given up one tight end score over the last 3 weeks. I don't know. He'll get a few extra passes his way. Just a C grade for Jared Cook. C grade for Tre'Quan Smith. Just super spotty production for him, even with all these players out. I don't know that he automatically does well here. He runs from the slot primarily. He'll match up against Buster Screen, who is allowing 39 yards and 0.2 touchdowns per game in his coverage. Those aren't great numbers. And just a C grade for Tre'Quan Smith. Deontay Harris, it's on the bench. I'm not even gonna elaborate on Deontay Harris.
You've said too much.
I already have. Let's go to Chicago. Allen Robinson's trying to clear the concussion protocol.
I
don't think he does either. But if he surprises us and plays, it's an incredibly juicy matchup against Marshawn Lattimore, who has devolved into one of the worst cornerbacks in the NFL, allowing a near perfect passer rating of 156 in his coverage. So if Allen Robinson goes, definitely start him. If he doesn't go, then there's no part of the receiving group that I think you want, no receivers that you'll want to play. Well, you want to play him either way. Jimmy Graham gets a C grade. He might not need a touchdown this week as the Saints are allowing the third most receptions per game and fifth most yards per game to opposing tight ends. And they've allowed the third most touchdowns. So if you're kind of a tight end dependent player like Jimmy Graham, I think one way or another, he could be okay here and a C grade on him. David Montgomery, just a C grade. He hasn't topped 3.4 yards per carry in any of the last five games, including that juicy matchup with Carolina that he just blew. It'll be tough sledding against New Orleans. Saints allowing the eighth fewest rushing yards, seventh fewest receiving yards per game to opposing running backs. And I'll mention his starting center, Cody Whitehair, has been ruled out of this game. So really, I think if we're not a bye week, I'd be just saying bench grade on David Montgomery. But relative to everybody else, it's just a C grade here. Let's go to our final matchup, and that's Scott Fish with the Bucs taking on the Giants. The Bucs offense has been electrifying lately.
It has.
But the Giants defense is much improved. Not great,
it is.
But it's much improved. Let's hear what you like about the Bucs.
Yeah, Brady's leading, second in the NFL in passing touchdowns.
And
he's the NFL leading passing touchdown leader, topping Drew Brees just last week.
Not bad.
Yep. So, and he's been doing it with guys like Scotty Miller and Tyler Johnson stepping up. That whole next man up attitude has come from New England all the way over. The Giants have been top third against quarterbacks, though, top 12. So Tampa Bay is likely to go a little more balanced in this one. My theory on this game is that the Giants offense won't be able to do anything, and the Bucs defense will be able to hold them down, and they're going to run a ton more.
Yeah, I think so.
So too. I'm only giving Brady the B grade on this one, even though he's been so lights out lately. I'm giving Scotty Miller the B grade as well. Has at least five targets in four of the six games. And when he gets five targets, he's been a lock for 70-plus yards. In fact, he reached 70-plus yards in all but one of his career games that he had five targets. I think 70 yards are in store. I should mention Godwin's out. If I didn't, that's probably why I'm giving Miller the B here.
Yeah.
Tyler Johnson's on the bench. He scored in two straight, but he's tallied just 11 yards on three targets.
Yeah.
You need the touchdown, so I'm putting him on the bench. Giving Mike Evans the B grade. It might be a squeaky wheel gets the cheese or grease.
Wait, cheese? Yeah. Is the mouse on the wheel? Is he running on the wheel?
We did that last year, too. That same exact thing. Someone else did that.
My car seems to be squeaking. Give it some cheese.
Yeah, exactly. He's still got the ankle. James Bradberry has blanketed Evans in the past, but that was with the Panthers. This is a new team, new defensive schemes, new quarterback, and about 100 other differences. I still feel safe putting Evans in, and he's going to need to produce with Godwin out. B grade there.
Yep.
B grade on Gronk. He's finally coming on with 22 targets in the last three games, over 50 yards in each, scoring twice. He's actually got 6 red zone targets in the last three games. That's more than almost the entire receiving core combined for the Bucs. Mm-hmm. He's getting those looks. And the Giants, they're great against tight ends, except for the fact they've faced one top 20 ranked tight end, and that was Dalton Schultz. So they have not been tested at all. B grade for Gronk. Running game. Non-PPR, you're going Jones. PPR, you're going Fournette. Can I say that? B grades for both. But
B grade for Fournette.
Actually, I have a B minus for Jones C plus for Fournette. B minus for Jones and C plus for... Okay.
No.
Okay, fine. B for Jones, C for Fournette. But I like Fournette a little bit more in PPR. Jones is the starter. He's running hard. The Giants D is no pushover. They've done well holding backs down. The reason I like Fournette more in PPR is last week when Jones dropped the ball, Fournette played most of the fourth after that drop.
Yeah.
And Fournette is the pass catching back there. It's weird to say, but he is. On the other side, Daniel Jones. Opposing quarterbacks are averaging 253 yards against the Bucs, and they've only given up 9 touchdowns in 7 games.
How many?
9 times.
Yeah, 9 times. And Justin Air Bear.
Yeah.
Ryan.
Roar. Justin Air Bear.
I can tell you have kids. You've got the roar ready whenever you need it.
Is a third of those.
Yeah, it's pretty easy. So, you just go, roar.
I have Daniel Jones on the bench. I'm giving both Shepard and Slayton C grades. Since week 2, only 2 wide receivers have topped 75 yards against the Bucs. It took Allen Robinson 16 targets to get there. It took Nelson Aguilar 8, or 9, excuse me. Davante Adams with 10 targets only got like 66 yards.
How are you giving them C's then?
Here we go.
Oh.
Shepard is the safe play because he's got 6 catches in 2 of his last 3 games. And this is a fun stat here. Shepard has at least 6 targets in 18 straight games.
Wow.
He gets peppered. Mm-hmm. He gets just enough. So I think he's the safe guy that you're going to get C-level production for. Darius Slayton, I'm giving the C grade to because they've given up 4 or 5 plays of over 40 yards. You might remember Justin Herbert had 2 long 50-plus yard bombs.
Justin who?
Air Bear.
Rawr.
Yeah. C grade there.
It's almost better if we just do the rawr on our own.
C grade on Ingram. Almost very hesitant there. I expect a 3 for 30, 3 for 40 type game. And the running backs are on the bench. They're just terrible. Even if Freeman's healthy, who cares?
Final moments of
you
the
mean
show.
Devontae Seaman?
Yeah,
you're
that
not going to give him a C?
When Christian McCaffrey has been healthy in the past, Matt, mm-hmm. he's been a 95% of the workload guy.
Sure.
But Mike Davis has been so good. What is a reasonable expectation for Christian McCaffrey and his owners as he's expected to come back next week?
Well, has Mike Davis been
the last couple
that
of games are kind of duddish for Davis?
Yeah, he hasn't put up great rushing numbers. Had a couple of games where he's averaging over 5 yards per carry, but a couple in there 1.7, 3.5 wasn't good. And Christian McCaffrey's, you know, he's just an otherworldly talent. I don't think that it's going to knock too many touches off of his docket. Maybe a few, maybe 1 or 2.
And that's it.
Yeah.
Just the goal line ones to annoy us.
Yeah, right. Wouldn't that be so horrible for Christian McCaffrey owners that have languished through this and then he doesn't get the ball to stripe
it? It wouldn't surprise me if Carolina worked in more 2 running back sets, though, with 2 good pass catching running backs.
Maybe it'll go that way. We'll find out. I'm pretty optimistic that it's going to be mostly Christian McCaffrey. If you haven't already, we encourage you to check out Guillotine Leagues. We're still forming new Guillotine Leagues almost every evening of the week. Live drafts happening for the freshest new format in fantasy sports. Every week, the low-scoring team gets chopped. Their entire roster goes to the waiver wire, and everybody else gets to feast on those players. You'll want to check that out at guillotineleagues.com. In addition, all of my player rankings available for free every week at guillotineleagues.com. See you in a week, everybody. Bye-bye. Fantasy Football Weekly is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.